Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today in the studio is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, my goodness. And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. Well, my goodness, we want to welcome all of our viewers and listeners and Christian Television Network and all of those that are listening all around the world. We are excited, my goodness, about what God is doing on the face of the earth and what he is about to do.
Amen.
What
Amen.
He is about to do. My goodness, get
it's
ready.
Exciting.
Listen, get your surfboard, get your rolling, you know, your roller skate, whatever you need. Just get ready, okay? Because it's coming and you want to be able to ride, okay? You want to ride with the God, okay?
That's right.
Because it's a wonderful and exciting thing. We have so much to discuss in today's broadcast and program. Don't forget that we're four programs back to back. Always, you can listen to us live on VFNTV.com, and of course, check your local listings. You may be able to see us on TV, on CTN, Christian Television News Network. But you know, some of the things that we're going to be talking today, one of the things we're going to be talking about, hunger for God. I mean, if you missed one of our previous programs, my goodness, we just got stirred. We're talking about being hungry for God, and it was an awesome, awesome segment and an awesome time because God's stirring the hearts. God's stirring his people and making them hungry.
Yes, he is.
And there's going to be such an outpouring. There's going to be such an outpouring that really, I mean, we're believing for a great awakening, not just a revival, but a great awakening. And God has shared with so many of his people, mm-hmm. what he is about to do. And there is great expectancy. Mm-hmm. For him just to do what God does, pour it out, pour his spirit out, mm-hmm. his love out, and see a move of God that not just changes, you know, a couple places here and a couple places there or a couple people here or a couple people there, but it's about changing the hearts and lives of many, of millions, mm-hmm. you know, because, listen, there's 7 billion people, you know, in the world right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our goal should be heaven full and hell empty.
That's
you
right.
know what I mean? That's it. Heaven full, hell empty. And there's 7 billion people. And so we want to encourage you to raise your faith. Let's not just see America, but let's see other countries in mm-hmm. the world be touched and moved by God as he has in times past. And he will do again. But we're also going to be talking about on one of our programs, hopefully with today's programs, we'll get to it, about near-death experiences and those who have had heavenly encounters
wow.
That have passed away and been brought back to life. You don't want to miss this. An interview by a local Fox station, but two individuals, a woman and a male. One was a firefighter mm-hmm. who passed away and died, mm-hmm. died in the hospital and came back. And they share some really interesting and exciting stories of what they encountered and who they encountered. And the firefighter comes back and says, there is no doubt in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ.
Awesome.
And he winds up hugging every single person in the hospital that helped him. But it's absolutely amazing. We also want to talk about some of the just abiding moments of God just sharing about being slow. My goodness. You know, the Bible instructs us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, right? Mm-hmm. But we also need to, you know, be slow in our judgment if we're judging at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, slow your roll, because things are not always what they appear. And God maybe has not positioned you in a place for you to make judgment. I mean, those mm-hmm. are those that are called for that, and then there are those that are not. But more often than not, we're not called to judge anybody.
That's
okay,
right.
And
that's
so
not our,
not our job. You know, last I checked, I didn't die on a cross for anyone. I didn't do anything. You know, Jesus alone holds that position, and so we want to just here and get some understanding in terms of that. But I'm excited about what God's doing. Steve, talk to me. Talk to us. Mm-hmm. You know, we were stirred up yesterday, Pat, as we were talking about being hungry. Hungry for a move of God. Mm-hmm. Hungry for God's outpouring, his touch and his presence. And I know that the Lord's been, you know, speaking to you, been spending time with the Lord. But share with us a little bit what's on your heart, man. What God's saying.
Well, you know, just having yesterday's conversation just really stirred my faith and just got me just so even greater hunger. And I love that, just talking about the things of the Lord. And as I was just spending time with God and just thinking about this and just really chewing about just that process of being hungry. And it just really makes me think of, you know, you've shared many times before on the program about mm-hmm. your time in the LSU Medical Center and being in the hospital and being at those bedsides of those that were at their deathbed, those were dying. And I was actually just having a recent conversation of someone that if they know they're about to die, they don't eat. Mm. They lose their appetite. Mm. They lose their taste for food. And it's so significant to have that. It's just like if you're not eating, you're dying.
Right. You know, that's called the clue.
Yeah. And you know, I've spoken with Greg about it, you know, many times before. And it's just like, what is, you know, when a baby's born, what is that sign that the baby's healthy? Mm. Mm. They're hungry.
Yeah.
Right? They want to eat. They're yearning for milk. They're yearning for food. It's just feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. Mm-hmm. And it's just like same thing is that Jesus says, in order for you to see the kingdom, you must be born again. So it's like if someone has that encounter that says, yes, I want to know Jesus in my life, but for some reason, if they're not yearning and reaching and just scratching for a Bible and saying, I need the word, I need something, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Yeah. If that's not there, there's something wrong.
It's clue.
Yeah, like you got to have that hunger.
Right, right. You're absolutely right. You know, I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, and I couldn't put the Bible down. Yeah. I couldn't put the Bible down. I wanted to read everything. And I wasn't a reader at the time. I mean, sad to say, I was in college, and I hated reading anything, any textbook or any other book. But, man, it's just amazing the moment. Yeah. It's like the moment I gave my life to God. It's like, switch.
Yep.
Hunger. I want to get it all in me, his truth. And I want to devour it. And I can just remember, I mean, at one time, I didn't even have a television in my house. I got rid of everything. I was just reading the word and just reading books that would help me in my walk with God. But tremendous hunger for the word of God.
Yeah, I was right there with you, because like when Jesus Christ came into my life and someone had said, you need to get a Bible, and it's just like I had never been in a bookstore and looked for like the Bible aisle or like where I get one. And it was just like I was a man on a mission, and it was just like to see that aisle for the first time, and it was just like, you know, Bible after Bible after Bible after Bible. I remember standing in that aisle and just like
being overwhelmed, I'm sure.
Really? Yeah. And it's just like you get that, and it's like you open the Bible for the first time, and just that hunger for God overwhelms you, and you're like, I want to know everything about him. And anybody that says anything about Jesus, you're just hanging on their every word because this awesome God wants to know me, and I can know him. Mm. And it's just, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, that is just the beginning. But you look at that, and that is a sure sign of life. It's a sure sign of healthiness. And if you don't have that, and it's just like, okay, that's something's missing.
Right.
We got to get that back and more. We ask for more.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Wow, man, that is just amazing, because that's what happens. I mean, the more that we sit at the Lord's feet, the more we want him. I think about Matthew 5:60 that says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. By the way, these are letters in red. It means Jesus spoke these letters, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, this is a promise.
Yeah.
You can understand that when Jesus promises something, Jesus delivers, okay? He's faithful, he's true, and he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And you know, a lot, people think a lot of things move God, you know, mm-hmm. need doesn't move God, you know, lack doesn't move God. What moves God, what gets God's attention, are those that are hungry after him. Not after what he can do for them, not for what he can provide them,
yeah.
not for the miracles and the signs and the wonders, because all of those things just point to his majesty, his glory, who he is, right? But those that hunger for his presence, hunger to know him, you know, that's really one of the heartbeats that you know, things that are close to my heart is, you know, do you know him and does he know you? And there's something about knowing God. You know, for many years, I didn't even know that was possible before I gave my life to God. I think oftentimes people think that, you know, only the men of God, the pastor or whoever, you know, is the person that is supposed to know God.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't know this, we're going to let you in on something right here, right now. We're going to let this out. God, the creator and the manager of the universe, the one where heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool, the one who created, you know, everything that you see, your ability to breathe right now, God, he desires a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
He desires to walk with you, to speak with you. He desires to love on you and for you to love him back. God, he cares about you. You know. And that may be overwhelming. And my goodness, when you really understand that and get a hold of that revelation, it changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
It changes everything. It changes who you are on the inside out. And you're no longer content for what others have to say about him. You say, no, I want to know him for myself. I mean, that's great what you're sharing. And that's great what you're teaching and preaching. But I know him as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and oftentimes people are tap dancing to earn a place, that performance acceptance syndrome. So if I can tap dance long enough and sing a couple songs and do a couple things, maybe I can earn his favor or his love or his blessing. But, you know, I often say, you know, you already have it. You can't get much closer than sitting on his lap. I mean, you're on his lap right now. He loves you, and he has an amazing plan for your life. And our quest and our journey is to love him. I mean, that's what you're here for. You're here to love him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with everything that's in you, to glorify him on this earth.
Amen.
Because, you know, life is but a vapor, Steve. We're here, and then we're gone.
This is all we got. This is all we have. You know, I'm always so encouraged. I think back to the many conversations that we've had, and even now, just going after God that much more, I think about, you had said, thinking about what Jesus Christ has done for me. If I had 1,000 lifetimes, I would give them all to him, even if he never did anything else for me from this moment. But I'd give him every single life. But this is the only life I have. This is the one moment that I can do anything for him, to display my loving affection and gratitude and say, thank you, God, that I can do anything for him. This is it.
This is it. This is that moment.
Yeah.
We're going to take a brief break. Listen, don't go anywhere. Stay with us, okay? We'll be right back as we continue to talk about being hungry for God. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are students compelled to do an assignment that goes against their beliefs? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My second grade daughter was required to do yoga in her phys ed class, and I have requested a meeting with the teachers, but I wondered if you had some ideas on how I should best approach the subject with them.
Well, there's a couple of things you can do, and one of the things that I would suggest is you go right to the teacher and ask directly for your child to be opted out of a religious exercise in the public schools. You know, it's one thing to talk about a variety of different religious beliefs in the the context of an educational setting. It's another thing to require a student to participate in a religious exercise, and compelling participation in that is not something that should be allowed, and we would suggest that in that case you go directly to the teacher, get a successful result. But let me also get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice so we can get you some direct help on this.
Stay informed, get involved, and make a difference. Visit the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Did you know that China, John, is praying, in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win. We will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talk to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. And the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steven. Let's just jump right back into it.
Yeah.
If you missed it and just tuning in right now, we've been talking about being hungry for God, hungry for a move of God. And we ended in the break, we were talking about, if we had 1,000 lives. Mm. I mean, God has been so exceedingly and wonderfully good. That's just the thing about him. He's so good that if I had 1,000 lives, if we had 1,000 lives, we'd give him all of them.
Amen.
But all we have is this one life, Steve. You were saying all we have is this one life.
That's right.
And the question is, what are we going to do with this vapor called life that we're here today? And before you know it, it's done. Mm-hmm. And what we could have or would have or should have done, mm-hmm. it's finished.
Yeah.
And we have this moment to love him.
That's right.
With every bit of fiber within us, because he's worthy of it. You know, and the thing is not to love him, but to fall in love with him.
Amen.
To talk to us, man. I mean,
dance with him.
Yes.
Yeah. Like when we started talking about that, when in one of the earlier programs, as far as just that those footprints and dancing with God, and yesterday's discussion, as far as just that hunger for God, it just really reminded me of the lady that was stricken with sickness, and she was going after Jesus. And this is in Mark chapter 5. And I so get caught up in this paradigm and all the things that were going on. And to just try to give you give you some background, it's just that this lady had been sick. She had been bleeding for 12 years. Mm. 12 years. And what you really have to take in consideration is just like, if someone has a sickness in their body, if they've got a diagnosis or a symptom for years, they're going to go to the doctor, right? They're going to go seek some medicine. They're going to go to the pharmacy. They're going to go to their specialist, and they're going to try to get an answer. They're going to try to get a healing, or they're going to try to get a breakthrough. But at some point, you're going to realize it's just like, this is not fitting. This is not fulfilling. It's not the answer. There's nothing else. I am desperate. I've tried everything else.
Yeah.
I've listened to people, and they said this was the answer, and I found out it wasn't.
Mm.
So when you read in Mark chapter 5, in the latter part of verse 24, it says a large crowd followed and pressed around him, pressed around Jesus. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. And there is so much suffering going on right now, and that people are hungry. People are going through so many just difficulties. And we're talking about empathy earlier. It's just what's going on in their lives, because they're looking for things that aren't meant, that weren't designed to fulfill them, that weren't designed to be their answer. And it says that she had spent, verse 26, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Everything she had, she gave.
Right.
And nothing came back. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And it's just like there's those in who probably might be listening right now, and they've given everything they've had to something, and they're looking and they're looking, and it's only getting worse. In verse 27, it says, when she heard about Jesus, she simply heard. You know, the Bible says that faith comes through hearing.
Right.
And even now, as we're talking about this, this is just stirring my faith. It's just talking about the things of Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd. And you think about, and it's just like how so many people were around Jesus, and there was a pressing, and Jesus was walking in a direction, and that she was so broken that she didn't yell, she didn't shout, she didn't barge her way into the crowd or come face to face with Jesus, but in humility from behind, she reached out. She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because this was her thought in verse 28. If I just touch his clothes, if I can just get near him, I'll be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. She knew at that point that there was no other answer, that nothing else was going to get it. She had been through the journey. She'd been through the conversations. She'd been through the appointments, and nothing was getting it. Verse 30, at once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? Not who touched me, not who touched my hand, not who touched my neck, or who touched my feet. But Jesus was so aware of her faith that she touched his clothes. You see, the people, and this is the people responding. In verse 31, it says, you see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask who touched me? Imagine, like we were talking about yesterday, being in a crowd or a concert, and just that pressing of a crowd. It's like, I mean, you can't move much.
Right.
You got to ask, hey, can you please move out of the way?
Right.
But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. She knew who Jesus was, and Jesus knew who this woman was. Mm-hmm. He said to her, daughter, not your medicine, not your prescription, not your wealth, not your house, not your car, not your job. He says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and freed from your suffering.
Wow.
Faith.
Yeah.
Allow your faith to get stirred up and just believe. It's just like Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is the only one that's going to answer.
You know, what's interesting about that story and that encounter was that something on the inside of her touched something that was on the inside of him.
Right.
And what was on the inside of him came out and made her well. You see, there's something on the inside of you that needs to be stirred, that passion and that hunger. And you're saying, listen, I'm hearing you guys and you're talking about hunger, but if I'm honest with myself, if I have a moment where I'm honest and I'm doing a self-evaluation, I'm just not that hungry anymore. I'm just not that hungry anymore. I don't hunger for God's word anymore. I don't hunger for his presence anymore. You know, I don't read my Bible. I'm just not hungry. Well, I got good news for you. Your appetite could be stirred up. You know, you ever been somewhere and someone invites you to eat, Pat, and you just ate an egg omelet. You just ate something, you know what I mean? Or you just had some food.
Yeah.
And they say, listen, I want to take you somewhere. I want you to have a meal. And you're like, man, I'm full. I just ate. Mm-hmm. And they say, oh, well, just come on. And then they start bringing out good smelling stuff. You know what I'm saying? They start bringing out all the food and you start saying, are those auntie's ribs? Wait a minute. is that some of that? Oh, okay. And that aroma starts filling the air, and you start, and you get a little bit inside of you.
A little overwhelmed.
Go, yeah. Listen, my wife used to bake bread, and I don't know what was better, the actual taste of the bread
or the smell of the bread that
filled the place. Let me tell you that hunger, your appetite can be stirred for God. Listen, God loves you. And you were meant to be in his presence. You were meant to be with him. Don't satisfy for anything else. Don't. There's nothing else that can satisfy but him alone and his presence. We're going to continue on our next program to talk about being hungry for God. Don't miss it, because listen, you can be stirred. Your appetite for God can be stirred, and you can be hungry too. Listen, there's an invitation for you to come to eat and dine at the Master's table. Don't miss this invitation. Join us in the next program. Oh my goodness, Auntie's Restaurant Barbecue, a taste of Southern soul on Highway 29, just 1/4 mile north from Kingsfield Road, right on the right-hand side. Come on in and get some. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Mark Downey and Associates is a real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to their success is simple: aggressive marketing and an intense passion for serving others. Call Mark Downey's team today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering. The words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, you know, and I can understand. Maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I've looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. And, you know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with with what God is saying. But I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN Radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you. Good plans in store for you. And I have a dream.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today in the studio is Pat.
Hello.
And Steve.
Good day, sir.
Hello, hello. Listen, if you missed some of our previous programs, we've been talking about being hungry for God. Oh, yeah. And we've been so stirred. We're going to continue talking about being hungry, mm-hmm. being hungry. And so just dive in with us. If you missed a previous program, go ahead and catch it. Everything will be available for you on the torch. Mm-hmm. But that's a great need right now in the land. And, mm-hmm. and you're seeing where God is stirring. He's stirring the hearts of his people. And it appears to me, because I'm hungry.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hungry. I know you're hungry.
Oh yeah,
Pat, you hungry?
I'm hungry.
I know you're hungry.
More, Lord.
Yes. Chris is hungry too.
Oh, Lord.
You know, but we're hungry.
Yes.
We're hungry for God himself, not what God can do. Listen, God can do anything. We're not after his hand. We're after his face. Very important. You know what I mean? But he's stirring his people.
Oh, yeah.
He's stirring his people for more of him. And listen, there is hope today. I know that you're seeing all over the news so many dark things happening and just so many, you know, things that are happening all across, you know, the world. Let me tell you, there is good hope in Jesus, okay? There is hope in the Lord, and God is doing something that, my goodness, I'm telling you, it's going to shake the world. Mm. It's going to shake the world, and we're excited mm-hmm. about it. You know, throughout history, you know, there's been powerful moves of God. I mean, you can talk about, you know, the Welsh revival, the first and great awakenings. You can talk about Azusa Street Revival, Asbury, you know, what happened in the 70s with the Jesus Movement. I mean, there's been Brownsville Revival, what God did in Argentina. I mean, the Moravians, 100 years of prayer, 100 years of nonstop, 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayer. You know, oftentimes people talk about John Wesley, who's the founder of the Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. You know, John and Charles Wesley, they were brothers. His brother wrote over 10,000 hymns, 10,000 hymns. And in fact, there's a book, my understanding, there's a book about the Wesleys. It's called Wesleys, England Before and After the Wesleys. Can you imagine England before and after the Wesleys? These two men of God, they were on fire. They God used them. God used them powerfully. But it was John Wesley who actually got right with God. He was already a minister, got right with God on a boat with the Moravians. These people were so hungry for God, and they desired his presence. They committed to 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayer. And it's just amazing. It's amazing what God can do with hunger. You know what I mean, Steve?
Right.
It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. We've
been talking about how even with food, you know, you can eat some things in the natural. We were talking about this earlier mm-hmm. about, you know, for instance, sweets. You know, I happen to like sweets. You know, sweets. You know,
yes, we know this.
Yes. Okay, don't rub it in. You know, I love key lime pie. Okay, let's stop. Some Valencia cake for those in New York. In the Bronx, you can always send some. But mm-hmm. the thing about sweets and some of the foods that we eat, they're nothing but empty calories. You know, they taste good and they're delightful at the time, but you know, after that, mm-hmm. there's a whole lot of baggage that comes with that extra slice, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Not only, you know, you have the calories and all the other things, if it's high sugar, I mean, you can list all the other stuff, right? But at the end of the day, you're still not satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had those moments where I'm like, just had another piece of cake. I just had some ice cream. And it's like, am I really thinking I'm going to get up again? You know, because this just didn't hit it. It went nowhere, empty. And listen, there's a lot of things that people are feasting on today that's not satisfying you. I I mean, you've tried everything, you know? We know because we did it ourselves, you know? In fact, you can read some of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We didn't write everything, but we did write some. And so you can see that we've been on a journey as well, that we've tried everything. And nothing satisfies like God. I often say, Steve, it's, you know, you can turn on the tub in your home.
Yeah.
And you can put on the hot and cold water full blast. Mm-hmm. And Pat, you can walk out in the morning and come back 10 hours later, and that water can be running for straight 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But that tub will never be filled unless there's a little thing called the plug in the bottom.
That's right.
And, you know, prior to meeting Jesus, that was what my life was all about. I was always trying to feed something and feed, you know, myself and on things and stuff. And listen, there's no amount of partying and just money and jobs and relationships. Nothing. There's nothing that satisfies because you still want more. There's still a gaping hole in your life. But the only one that can satisfy is a relationship with Jesus. You know, giving your life to Jesus is not like a one-time check. You know, I prayed a prayer and that's it. No, when you've given your life to the Lord, you've just walked into the foyer, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Explore the whole house. You know, there's rooms, there's places, there's things that God wants to develop and grow in mm-hmm. you. And it's a journey.
Yeah.
And so you want to stay hot. Yeah. You don't want to get lukewarm. You want to stay hot and passionate about what God is and what he's doing now. What's he doing today in your generation? And I know we've been talking about a move of God. And I know, Steve, that, you know, you've been sharing with us about those that have hungered, those that have cried out for a move of God and what that was like. Share with us.
Well, I've been reading, there's been a book that has just really just stirred me and just so challenged me. And it's Leonard Ravenhill. And it's a book that's called Why Revival Tarries. And it's just that realization of just like, why is it waiting?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a consistent reality of just like the difference between where the present church is today and where it was in the book of Acts.
Right.
And that difference. And we've got to get back to that and the purity of it. But the amazing thing is that just as we've been talking about hunger, Leonard Ravenhill does an amazing job of just how he correlates and just goes back and the journeys of just those women of God in the Bible, and they went through their own season of crying out for God, and those women that were barren, that weren't able to have children, that were just crying out and just believing God for a mighty miracle. And reading through and going back and actually reading in the Word about these specific women, I think about Rachel. And when you look in Genesis 30, is that Jacob had two wives at the time, and one was Leah and one was Rachel. And in Genesis 29, verse 17, it talks about the differences. And it says, verse 17, it says, Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. And in verse 19, it says, it's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. And it goes through, and Leah had multiple children. She had four boys at this time, and as continuing to birth sons for Jacob. But through all of this, Rachel, it says, the word says she was a beautiful woman. She was lovely in form.
Mm-hmm.
But she did not have any sons.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, just that in itself, how it says that she's lovely in form and that her, with eyes, she looks beautiful. But she still had no sons. And that really got me thinking about the fact of just like how beautiful the things are of the world. Like you're saying that there's things that our eyes can see that can draw us to, but we're still not fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing that we want mm-hmm. in our lives. There's one thing that we hunger for. And that's just for just a birth in the kingdom. Because Jesus says, in order to see the kingdom, you must be born again.
Mm-hmm.
We want that move of God. And that, you know, I talked about recently how it's like you can read a scripture, but there's so much in that you don't really think about. And in that time in Israel, it's just like, it was almost like a wealth or I don't know the best word, but it's just like a significant when you have a son.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have children or their daughters, but it's a blessing to be able to pass it on to your oldest son, right, or your firstborn son. And you think about the mocking that Rachel went through, or you think about the tears, that the one thing that she wanted was just a son, while the woman to her side was having son after son after son. And what totally gripped me, in Genesis 30, verse 1, it says, when Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, give me children or I'll die. And it makes me think about the lady that we were just talking about in Mark 5 that says, when I just heard about Jesus, I knew I had to have him in my life. Mm. You got to get to that point where it's like, I have got to have Jesus or I'll die. There is nothing else in my life. But you got to have that hunger. You've got that yearning. You've got that just overwhelming passion and consuming desire to say, I have got to have him in my life because nothing else is going to satisfy, just like what you're talking about earlier. And it's just, we need to arrive to that desperation. Mm-hmm. And continuing on, it's just like thinking about those women, and just while we're staying right here, is like you look in 1 Samuel and you look at Hannah. And Hannah, again, was another woman who had gone through a season where the word even says is that God closed her womb, so she wasn't able to have a son. And reading through this in 1 Samuel, it says in verse 5, it says, whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And that makes me think of like the journey. It's just like when you get so hungry for God and you're yearning for something, there's going to be those that are going to be next to you being like, they're going to be provoking you. It's just like, why are you going after God?
Right.
You know, you know, the things that are going on in the world, you know, you can do this, you can do that, and they're going to provoke you.
Isn't that interesting? That those that are not hungry after God are always trying to, you know,
stop you,
yeah, pull you down, and say, "Hey, yeah, you're stop yeah being radical." Yeah. Imagine right that. It's like, you know, are you going to tell
come
your spouse
this insignificant thing with
yeah
me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Really, you're going to want to be in the Lord's presence again? Why would you want to do that?
You need to turn it down a bit.
Yeah, really, you just all you want to do is just keep worshiping God. Really. Why don't we do this or do that? Or, yeah, oh my, you're just being radical. Yeah. You're just, well, my goodness, can you imagine telling someone not to be radical and, you know, in love with the person, you know, that they're married to or whatever? It's like, well,
are you going out to eat with your wife again?
Yeah.
Really?
You just went out to eat with your wife 2 months
already
ago.
Didn't you do that already, you know?
All right.
Yeah. And that is just like, it's so rings true to those that are hungry for God, because they're going to have that provoking voice around them. But it's like when you get to that desperation, you get to that place where it's just like, I just don't care.
Right.
It doesn't bother me. I need that. And in verse 7, it says this went on year after year. Wow. That is so true. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Isn't this job enough for you? Didn't I do all these things for you? Aren't you satisfied? Why are you so downhearted? And it's just, if you've got a hunger in your heart and it's like that hunger's good. Don't listen to the voices. Don't listen to those people that are contradicting what Jesus says about you. And in verse 9, it just says, it continues on, and Hannah ends up going before the temple, and it says that in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord.
Wow. You know, we're going to continue when we get back from the break, but you know, when you were saying about the provoking, I heard a businessman say that, listen, I have friends that said I'd never be a public speaker, and that was a desire of this man's heart. So he said, you know what I did? You know what I did? I just changed my friends. I just changed my friends. Listen, you got people that's telling you, you don't have to go after God. You don't have to be hungry for him. You don't have to do all that. You know what you need to do? Change your friends. Change your friends, because you know what? If you and God is a majority, you don't need anybody else. When we get back from the break, we're going to continue to talk about being hungry for God. Don't miss it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
God is putting together today establishing apostolic centers. He has established and is establishing for this next generation, this next season. We refer to them as apostolic centers or hubs, and we've talked about them before. But I want you to listen right now to Paul Keith Davis as he speaks about it prophetically as it's happening. Listen up.
We're living in the hour right now where the angels that gather message is relevant, where storehouses are being identified. Let's call them apostolic resource centers. Let's call them freedom outpost centers, as Chuck Pierce says, whatever you want to call it. The Antioch type of a model for ministry is relevant right now. Places are being identified. Leadership is being identified. The hearts of men are being examined by the eyes of the Lord, roving to and fro to see whose heart is completely His, so that He may strongly support them. And when He does find what He's looking for, He's going to give them authority. He's going to give them authority. Their words are going to have weight. They're going to begin to change the environment. They'll change the atmosphere. They'll prophesy something. We're living in an hour now where prophecy is not optional. It is mandatory. 1 Corinthians 14, you may prophesy, but I'm over in Revelation right now. Revelation 10, you must prophesy. You must prophesy again concerning many nations, tongues, tribes, and kingdoms. Why? Because the Lord has a harvest to bring in. He has a bride to awaken. He has sons of the kingdom to empower. We have some work to do. The Father's business needs to be done. And so I know that these places, Antioch was probably the purest model to what we're going to see today. Jerusalem, of course, was the first model, but it was primarily Jewish, as you know. But when Stephen was stoned, the Bible says the disciples were scattered. They went to Cyprus and settled primarily in Antioch. And all of a sudden now, the Spirit fell again in Antioch, and it became an apostolic hub where Barnabas went and found Saul of Tarsus, or Paul, brought him back there. They made that their base. They went on three missionary journeys out of Antioch. Antioch became the place where the people were first called Christ people, because they were so much like the Lord. They were identified with Him and His name. Isn't that amazing? And I believe these new models that are about to come today, these prophetic models of apostolic resource centers, of storehouses, of freedom outpost centers, will redefine the Christian definition. You'll be a Christ person. You'll be a person like Christ. John G. Lake had four experiences. On the fourth one, when the glory of the Lord came in and upon him, he said, I became a Christ man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Isn't that amazing? He said, now I didn't just have His power, I expressed His radiant nature. Wow, that blew me away when I read that way back in the 90s when I had my experience on Thrones of the Soul. And so I know the apostolic resource centers this year are being identified, places that will be given authority. We're going to win people in. We're going to go out into the wheat fields that surround the storehouse. We're going to prophesy people in. Our intercession will not just simply be intercession now. It'll be proclamation. It'll be decrees. It'll be taking authority, saying, bring them in. We're claiming them right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them up. You know, addiction, give them up. Pornography, give them up. Whatever it is, you got to give them up. Why? Because He's given you authority to overcome, authority to destroy these shackles that have held this harvest in at bay. And they're going to come in. And when they do, we're going to train them. We're going to be given this incredible grace to train and facilitate their not only being set free of all the stuff, but also to lay a foundation of truth in them that will be so fast and so rapid it will scare you.
VFN Dream Center, think about this. An apostolic center on the Gulf Coast for the purpose of reaching the world. This is what was said, I believe, by Dr. Michael Brown. If you want to do something for God, find out what God is doing and dive in. Give yourself fully to it. Listen, this is what God is doing in the earth. He's establishing apostolic centers throughout the nation and throughout the world. It is time for us to arise and shine, for our light has come. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe it is. Go to VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we were talking before the break and have been talking about in this program and in the previous program about being hungry for God, hungry for His presence, hungry for who He is and not just what He, you know, not what He can do, and hungry for a move of God, an outpouring of His Spirit that radically changes our lives and every, you know, sector of our existence, you know. Amen. You know, when God's presence comes in, when the move of God comes, it just doesn't affect people's hearts, but it goes into the community. It changes, you know, business, how people transact business. It changes how people, you know, are in government act because they've changed. Their hearts have changed. When we align our hearts with God, then the things that we're doing, the areas of influence and the authority that He's given us, you know, in the world, we begin to change things that reflect who He is. You know, mm-hmm. laws become just, and it just has ripple effect. And so we're talking about being hungry mm-hmm. and being passionate. And some of the examples that you were talking about, women in the Old Testament that were desperate yeah. to have a child yeah. and that nothing satisfied them, because at that period in time, you know, it was everything to have a child. It was everything to have a male, that the lineage mm-hmm. of the family would continue.
Right.
And women, you know, they understood at that time that, listen, I need to birth these children and raise them up so that the lineage will continue. And you were talking mm-hmm. about all that. I mean, continue yeah. to share with us.
Well, just continuing on as far as just Hannah's just desperation and her travail. And continuing on in 1 Samuel was the fact that it's saying that she was praying in verse 13. It says she was praying in her heart and her lips were moving. And Eli at the time was seeing her, but he wasn't hearing her. He was seeing her lips move. And it's amazing what he says. He says, how long, Eli thought she was drunk. How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. And it's the amazing thing is, like, that's exactly what they told the disciples in Acts 2 when Pentecost came.
Mm-hmm.
And God moved so powerfully because they were so hungry and obedient to the Lord Jesus.
Think about that. She was in with such yearning
yeah.
and such brokenness that her husband actually thought she was drunk, when in reality, she was not. I mean, what was happening on the inside of her heart and her passion, and it comes to a place, man, where you're just like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
There's a yeah. release. There's a grieving. There's a mourning. There's a yearning. There's a longing. You're full of emotion. You're like, everything's got to go.
Mm.
I've got to have God.
Yes, yes. And that's where it so just gripped me, because it says, skipping down in verse 16, it says, do not, and this is Hannah, she says, do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief.
Mm.
Being in a place of anguish, in holy desperation for a move of God in your life, in your family, in your city, in your nation, in your generation, is a beautiful place.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
'Cause I will promise you that God hears those prayers and that He is setting up to respond. And the powerful thing is that looking through the journey, like I said, of multiple women, just Rachel and Hannah are just the two. You look at the journeys of Sarah, she was barren until she was 90, but she birthed Isaac. Rachel birthed Joseph. Manoah's wife was the one that birthed Samson, who was a judge who delivered the nation, mm-hmm. right? Hannah, who we just talked about, who did she birth? The son that she had was Samuel. Samuel was the prophet who ended up anointing David.
Mm-hmm.
And David was the one who was in the lineage of Jesus. You look at Elizabeth. Elizabeth was also stricken without the ability to have children for years. And who did she birth?
Mm-hmm.
John the Baptist. And the powerful thing is, though, those women of God went through those seasons. And imagine if they did not, the powerful men of God that we would have lacked. And the thing is, though, that is the same message for the church today. The fact that if we do not get a holy desperation of God, what mighty moves of God are we going to miss out on? Being in that place of anguish, being in that place of just hungry for Jesus is a beautiful place. And the awesome thing is that when you think about how these ladies were pregnant and they were able to have children, we have got to get pregnant with a passion for Jesus, with a holy passion and hunger for a move of God in our generation. And having that hunger, that's where it starts.
Absolutely. You know, it's exciting, everything that we're sharing, because it all starts with one. You know, oftentimes people are looking for somebody else. You know, can somebody else pray for revival? Can somebody else pray for the outpouring? Can somebody else do this? And listen, revival and the outpouring begins in your own heart.
Amen.
You know, decide today. You know, I am going to be a revivalist, and I'm gonna work with God so that He can work on me, so that He can revive me and light me up. Light me up. Light me on fire for You. You know, I think about the artist Shane and Shane, and they written a song called Yearn, and maybe we can relate this to this segment, but the word yearn means to have an intense feeling or longing for something. It's time for us to yearn. It's time for us to cry out. It's time for us to be desperate for God and God alone and for the outpouring of His presence. Because when God shows up, I mean, He comes to take over.
That's right.
It's like a tsunami of His glory. It just continues to fill and cover everything it touches. Listen, God is on the move. It's time, man. It's time. I can feel it. I know that we're stirred, and we hope that you're stirred too. Get hungry for God. He's the only one that can satisfy you. And when God touches you, it's all over. Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola, not just your ordinary bowling alley, it's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Carr City. You'll be glad you did. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape. He'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I want to say this too before we go.
that if you have not yet experienced the VFN Dream Center, you need to. Mm. On the Gulf Coast, or maybe virtually. You can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org or vfmdreamcenter.org and come and experience every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Live on VFN TV, but also at 3 p.m. again, Central Time. And these are Central Times. Mm-hmm. The presence of the Lord was so powerful last Sunday. And so there's nothing like the presence of God. And that's all we want. We just want to be with God. We're so grateful that he wants to be with us. But you can do that. And you can find out more how to get there or how to connect to us virtually by going to vfndreamcenter.org and find out the details on the front.